The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at @RealTheUnderdog.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy gambling and daily fantasy. We are proud partners of Underdog Media. You can also find us on Podcast One. Today, subbing in for Brad, we have my my co-author from the Fantasy Baseball Almanac, Eric, a.k.a. Baseball Llama. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing well. I'm doing my best to fill in for the big shoes of Brad.
Yeah, Brad, the poignest face you'll ever see in your life. But yeah, he is good. You know, since we're about halfway through the MLB season, I figured we'd just do that. We haven't, you know, Brad and I, we've talked about this on the show. If you're like a big NFL fan, you're looking for some fantasy football content, this is probably going to be a little bit more baseball heavy today. This week, we are going to do our 8-part division by division gambling, like, you know, futures primer and fantasy football primer, just like we did last season. We're going to start that, I think, in early July. So it's coming up rapidly. And for anybody who has not yet purchased the Fantasy Football Almanac and Draft Guide, that is available on Amazon. Just search for Sean Ryan, my author name, or you know, search for Functional Sportsaholic or Fantasy Football Almanac. Any of those things will get you there. Once again, it's Amazon. You could also go to functionalsportsaholic.com or find me on Twitter. I'm at @TFS_Sean. All the information is everywhere. But Eric, you know, we released our baseball book earlier in the season. We're about to you know, refresh some rankings to prime people for second half runs. But I want to talk to you today, not only about fantasy, but about, I guess, the teams as well, where we are in the MLB season. We have some people that were on the 60-day injury list, probably primed to return sometime soon. We have others that are going on the list. So, you know, if depending on where your positioning is in your fantasy leagues out there in fantasy baseball, maybe you want to trade some players for and stash the people away in a keeper league for next year. Maybe you're not going to be able to make a deep playoff run, or maybe you are ready to make a playoff run. You want to trade some assets away and get some help this year. So that's what Eric and I are going to be talking about today. But let's just start talking about, I guess, the baseball landscape as a whole, where everybody is in the division. We can start and sweep through pretty quickly. The AL East, strong teams everywhere. You got the Yankees, you got the Red Sox, you got the Rays, who I think all three of those teams are probably going to make the playoffs if I had to pick. Do you agree, Eric? Are you on that the same path with me, or do you think another team might be able to make a run somewhere else for one of those wild card spots?
Yeah, the only team I really see being able to make a run would be maybe Texas or Oakland, but I see Boston kind of figuring it out a little bit. You know, they've kind of looked into their last 10, and I think they played 7-3 over the last 10. They're starting to really come around and get back to what they are. So yeah, I think you're going to look at three teams out of the American League East in the playoffs there.
Yeah, I see the Red Sox. So they're 41-35. They started poorly. They're 6.5 games behind the Yankees, only 3 games behind the Rays, who are by themselves are 3.5 games back. So, yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot to like. I'm looking through the other divisions. You have the Twins, who, by the way, Eric, and for our listeners, you called the Twins before anybody else did. But they're doing some impressive stuff in the Central. They're 9 games up. Cleveland, what are your thoughts on Cleveland? I know you and I talked about this maybe a week or so back, and you said, you know, it's time. Cleveland has to kind of detonate this roster to build another cycle. But, I mean, what's happened to them, in your opinion?
I mean, just they made a couple of moves in the offseason that I think kind of hindered them a little bit. But overall, I think the Lindor injury early on in the season hurt them. Jose Ramirez, who actually we're going to talk about a little bit later, just has not been good at all. And they've had, you know, rampant injuries with Kluber out. Clevinger only just came back. You know, so I think they're dealing with a lot of issues. They don't have Carrasco now. He's on the IL for a blood issue, I think. So he's going to be out for a while. So yeah, I mean, just they were built on having, you know, that great pitching staff, and they're all injured except for Bauer. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's been that it's been a lot of things, and that's a team that just needs to, in my opinion, I think they're going to try to keep going for it because they're not that far out of it, but I really think they should kind of just, I don't want to say fully blow it up, but they definitely should make some big trades and try to restock a bit. I think Lindor should be traded, mainly because they're not keeping him. They've already said as much, but in as clear terms as they can without coming out and saying we're not re-signing him. So you can get a haul for him now as opposed to waiting to the off season or halfway through his final year where you're going to get a lot less. I think you try to trade Kluber when he comes back. I think right. You trade Bauer because he's a guy you know you can't extend. And then yeah, I think you build around, at least as far as your staff, you build around Clevinger and Beaver, and you know, you got some other pieces in the lineup that you can either trade or build around as well. So they've got some pieces, but I think they really need to not even rebuild, but they need to retool. And they could trade those guys that I talked about for closer to MLB-ready talent. You know, maybe just take one big prospect as opposed to let me take four or five guys and hope somebody pans out. You know, target a bigger prospect, a better prospect that's close that can jump in and help, you know, help out.
Yeah.
And they can kind of build that way and get ready to compete, because I don't think the Twins are sustainable for the long haul right now, because a lot of their guys are one-year deals.
Right. So. And then my favorite slashy player, the guy that I always well, I can't even remember his name, Marwin Gonzalez.
Marwin, yep.
Yeah, he's since been released on my team, obviously, for obvious reasons. He just wasn't worth it. But you mentioned Kluber. I want to talk about him a little bit later because, you know, for listeners, for people that have followed our baseball content, you know, we check in like maybe once a month or something like that. You know, I took over in Eric's league. I took over the worst team in his league last year. And we were in different, so Eric won his league, as he typically does. And I took over the worst team. So we're in two different spots, which I actually think helps the show a little bit, because Eric kind of comes from the reigning champion and I'm trying to extend my championship window. And I'm coming from I just need to find players in any way I can. So I'm basically rebuilding a keeper dynasty league roster, although we only keep seven, so it's not a dynasty. But I do want to talk a little bit, and Eric and I will later in the show, about, you know, kind of different strategies, depending on where you're at. Eric, I didn't talk about this with the AL East, but did you see, I saw some recent news. So Tampa Bay, obviously, famously, they get like four people that show up to their game week to week. Or game to game, basically. I mean, you go there, and it's almost like going to a high school baseball game. You know, you can hear like one guy boo, like on the highlights, you know, somebody like cracks a home run and goes, "Oh, boo," you know, you can hear like random conversations, like a guy on his cell phone talk. I mean, it's just like there's nobody in the crowd. It's pathetic. But I guess there's talk about them splitting time in some way with Montreal. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I was reading about that. Basically, they're applying for dual citizenship. I think it's absolutely ridiculous because I don't think it'll work. You know, it just, you're gonna have two cities that want a full time team, and if it somehow that actually came to pass, what I would see happening is they're gonna look at it. Okay, so for the first half of the year, we have, you know, 20,000 fans total for the entire first half of their games, and then they're gonna probably average that per game in Montreal.
Right.
For the second half, so they're gonna look at it. This is pointless. Why are we gonna have no fans for the first half, and sell out the second half? So I think. I think they should just up and move, because baseball in Florida just does not work. We've proven that, and the Marlins fans, proved that.
Man, you're right. The one guy.
You know, I mean, neither team draws a crowd, and they never have, and they probably very likely never will.
It is so weird. Like, sports in Florida, professional sports in Florida is so weird, because, like, yeah, Orlando has the Magic, and, you know, they draw people, and I think, you know, they're a profitable club, but they don't, you know, if they make the playoffs, it's not like a sellout. Now, I moved from Orlando to Chicago. You can't get a regular season ticket to, like, the Blackhawks or the Bulls or the Bears or the Cubs or White Sox or any of these. You can't get in the stadium for, like, less than, like, $200 because everything's secondary market. And, like, Orlando the Magic, you have Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers aside, because the NFL is a different animal. You know, Jacksonville even has problems in the NFL, which, again, NFL is a different animal, but Jacksonville's problems there. Miami, you know, they, of course, they have the Dolphins, again, the NFL, but the Marlins, it's just Florida's just a weird state. I mean, they support their college teams and their college football and everything. Maybe just Florida's just a football state and that's it. I don't know. It's weird, though. It's like there's always problems with somebody professionally and drawing fans to games. It's just odd.
It's a mutt state.
Yeah,
the majority
true.
Of what we have here is transplants from New York or Chicago or you know, up north, things like that. So you have people that come down here as a passionate fan base from other teams, and you're not going to change, you know, a Cubs fan or a Yankee fan or a Red Sox fan. Yeah. You're not going to change their allegiance to the Marlins or the Rays, no matter how, no matter where they live.
Yeah, you're right. And they do well in those games when New York or Boston or Chicago, those teams come to town. Or like, you know, the Jaguars will do well when Pittsburgh comes to town because, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers fans travel well and are well represented. You're right. It is a mutt state. You hit that on the head. That's a good call, Eric. But moving back to everything. Oh, by the way, yeah, I agree. I think the Rays will end up back in Montreal. That's probably where this is going. And to you know, it's not like Tampa is splitting games with Orlando, like a close, or like, you know, the Buffalo Bills sometimes will play a game in Toronto. It's like an hour, 2 hour, you know, drive at the most, you know, between those two venues. So it's not like that. It's like they have to hop on a flight. Like, it's just too far geographically. It's a weird thing. I just thought it was interesting. But Cleveland, by the way, for everybody, so they're like two games out of the wild card, so they are still in it. So I see, as Eric, to your point, I see why they're not hitting the detonate button, but there you go. And then Texas and Oakland are also at 39. Oakland's 36 losses. The Rangers are at 35. I would, if I had to pick one of those to challenge, I would say the A's. I think Boston's going to get in. I'm actually a little bit more worried about the Rays. I'm looking at their last 10. They're 3-7. Glasnow is on the injured list. They've had a couple guys go down with injury. I'd be more worried about them fading than New York and Boston not being able to get it together.
I would agree there's a better chance of that, though. I think they'll be just fine. They'll get their guys back. Lesnar will come back, which you'll be happy about as well, I'm sure. And, you know, I think they'll be just fine. I think they're going to go in there. They'll make a nice move or two that they need to at the deadline, and they'll pull something out.
Yep.
Be a nice team.
Yep.
It's a lot.
Moving it over to the National League. So you have the Braves atop the East there. You know, Philadelphia started well, but their offense, yeah, basically the Harper thing. I'm not going to say it's not working out, but you actually even traded Harper from your fantasy squad, which I was a little surprised by, but it made sense. And you said, look, man, I'm just getting rid of everybody who strikes out too much from my team. But can you talk about the you know, the Phillies? They're not entirely meeting the hype, although I think that was hard. Do you think that Philadelphia will charge and challenge Atlanta at the end of the year? Or how do you feel about this division?
I do think Philadelphia is going to make some moves because they're really they kind of went all in this year, and they want to make sure that that's not for nothing. So I do see them making some moves, and they're going to be around. They're probably will, you know, right in the playoff hunt towards the end. I think Atlanta's going to pull it out. I do. Just good young team quality. And I think one of the problems with Philadelphia, and I read it in I recently got myself a subscription to The Athletic, which interesting stuff, reading an article and about Brian McCann of the Braves. And he came out and he was saying that it's really hard a lot of times with a lot of egos in a, you know, in a single clubhouse, but somehow it all works there for them. And I see kind of as the opposite in Philadelphia, kind of what we saw with Washington, you know, previously. Mm. It doesn't seem to be gelling, at least from what I can see, quite well. And I think it kind of shows in the field a little bit for them.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's kind of following suit with your early predictions. I'll say this, you know, the Mets, just from a fantasy point of view, and we'll talk about these a little bit later, but the pitchers are still looking pretty good, but it's like their offense is failing them. It's a story of my fantasy team's life, although I don't have any Mets pitchers on my staff anymore. But that's an interesting one that I keep looking at, because you never know. I mean, if the bats wake up a little bit, they're, 35-39. The wild card position right now is 40-34. I'm not going to say they're going to make a charge, but just the pitching talent on that team, if the bats wake up a little bit and the pitching gets a little hotter, they're not out of it yet. So that's just my one little quip there. Attention, true crime fans, check out 22 Hours, An American Nightmare on Podcast One. It was a case nightmares are made of. A family is held hostage for nearly 24 hours and murdered inside their home. WTOP examines the complicated trail of evidence that police say led to finding their killer and why they say he committed such a brutal crime. Download new episodes of 22 Hours, An American Nightmare on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Moving into the Central, Yelich is freaking incredible. I thought he was going to, you know, have his foot off the, I don't want to say foot off the gas. I just didn't think he was going to be able to rebound that MVP season like he's putting up now. But that guy's a monster. Milwaukee's in second place. The Cubs a half game ahead of them for now. And they seem to have fixed their bullpen with the sign of Kimbrel. But what do you think about this division?
Yeah, it's going to be a tight one down to the wire, and I think you're going to have three clubs. I, you know, the Cardinals have they struggled a bit. They have not played really that well, but they're still right there. They're not far back, and I think they're too talented of a team to not make a charge. So I think you're going to have three teams duking it out towards the very end, and I think, you know, the Kimbrel thing could definitely put the Cubs over the top. They've been playing great baseball, and the Brewers just keep finding a way to win. You know, no matter what, they just, yeah, they're ridiculous. And I think a lot of that has to do with Yelich. So that's going to be a tough division. I do think at this point, I'm kind of, I know I had the Cardinals as my team, and I still think they might sneak into a playoff spot, you know, as far as a wild card. But I think you're probably going to have three teams come out of that division into the playoffs, unless they just beat each other to hell going down the, you know, the stretch there and let someone sneak ahead of one of them.
Yeah, I mean, basically the playoff picture right now, if the playoffs ended today, the Brewers would be in, and Philly would be tied with Colorado for the playoff spot, and St. Louis would be one game behind that. So they certainly have some things to say in this race. And then you go out west, the Dodgers are just kind of making this a laughing stock division. Now, whether or not the Dodgers will be able to manage themselves, specifically their manager, will he manage by computer? You know he will. I don't know if that's going to work in the World Series. It hasn't for the last couple seasons. I actually think, you know, this year the Dodgers could actually break through. They're looking pretty good, man. But what do you think about this division?
Oh, it's the Dodgers and everybody else. I think the Rockies are a good team, but the way that Freeland fell off a cliff for them, and, you know, aside from really Marquez, they don't have anybody that's really stepping up. And I think that's going to hurt them. So yeah, it's the Dodgers and then everyone else. So maybe the Rockies will make a play for a playoff spot. The Padres, if they make a couple of good moves at the deadline, which I'm sure they'll try, have a shot. I think next year the Padres are actually going to challenge the Dodgers a bit. But until then, it's the Dodgers. And yeah, I don't see a lot of people having a chance to take them down. You know, I think the Cubs can kind of stand toe-to-toe with them a little bit, though I still think it's the Dodgers. The Brewers, obviously, and I think the Braves are showing that they can, as long as they can, if Keuchel comes in and pitches well and they, you know, show that they've got a good pitching staff, it could make for an interesting series as well.
Okay, gut. What's your gut telling you right now? World Series matchup.
Oh, I'm going to stick with the Yankees there, obviously, in the AL, as I've said, much as it pains me.
Yep.
And right now I at midseason, after watching it, I have a hard time going against anyone other than the Dodgers just because of, they're just too damn good. I think we're looking at an MLB,
MLB, New York and LA, two classic teams in the World Series. If it's me, I'm betting on the Yankees. You and I have both been saying it. They've been so deep. They've been doing this with a lot of backup players. What they've been doing, they don't even have Stanton and Judge. I mean, they're just so damn good. It's just ridiculous. Severino. I mean, come on. So I'm going to take the Yankees still. And then I like the Cubs. I think that Kimbrel move is big for them. You know, I have never been enamored with Chicago's bullpen. That I don't know if he's Strop or Stroop. I should probably know that since I live here. But that guy, there's just something. You and I have talked about this before. There's just something that when you see a closer, I remember seeing this, and I know this looked very well from Armando Benitez in the playoffs years and years and years ago when he was with the Orioles. You can just see a guy who's going to shrink in the big moment, like. You know, he can be a great closer in the regular season, but when the pressure's ratcheted up in the playoffs and you got to face people possibly seven games in 2 weeks and, you know, they can get a beat on you. I don't know, man. I just, you know, the Cubs bullpen has always kind of let them down a little bit. And the year that they did make a splash and a move, they won the World Series. And I think that having a closer of Kimbrel's ability could get them over the hump this year. And I don't like the way that the Dodgers run their roster. You know, they get six dominant innings out of their starting pitcher and then go to their bullpen and let teams back into it. I just, you know, until I'm proven otherwise, I'm going to go against Dodgers. Although I'm going against conventional wisdom and I'm putting the Cubs in the World Series now. That assumes everybody's healthy, but I don't know. There's my contrarian pick for you. But anyway, let's swing it over to the fantasy side of things. We're kind of moving along the show. I wanted to a lot of leagues out there, they have injury lists stash. I have, in our league, Eric, we have two people, and you always have injury stash players. I always have injury stash players. My stash players at the moment are Glasnow because he went out, and then I have I picked up Severino as soon as he was available because somebody waived him. They didn't want to wait on him. And then on top of that, although I have not, I've actually stashed Kluber for my keeper for next year because I do think at some point he's going to not be in Cleveland, and I figure he'll go to a good team. So I think that's going to be a winning proposition for me. Now, I think I have three really strong pitchers going into next season, but what do you think about the injury players? Like, who would you be stashing if you had extra slots?
Well, actually, the first one I'll mention is one that actually did kind of snuck in after somebody put him down with multiple injuries and dropped him, which was Carlos Carrasco. He's going to be back this year. He's a guy that I'm looking at one of two ways. Either A, I can plug him in if he's back to his old self, and just have a stud, you know, for the stretch run this season, or potentially trade in the offseason, or even trade, you know, this season if I have, you know, simply no need for him. I can use him to kind of fill up my roster at the end of the year if I need something. So I like that as an option. The other guys I got listed here would be Luke Weaver, who someone else beat me to it. I believe that was actually my brother. You know, solid young pitcher that kind of took a step forward this year, and I like him. And then I've always liked Colin McHugh.
Yep.
I like the strikeout upside of him. And as long as they bring, even if they bring him back as a reliever, if they can put him as a closer, but I don't think they will. But if he's a starter, he's a good option as well. But yeah, as you're saying, use that injured list to your advantage. If you don't have any injured players and you got the slot, pick somebody up that's solid like that. If you can get a Carrasco, a Kluber, or any of those guys, put them on their worst case scenario. If you have to move a couple of your guys that you know you need to keep, you can drop them. But use it while you can. You know, we have a five ad per week limit, just so no people aren't going crazy, which I've seen in another league I do on the side. It absolutely drives me nuts. We talked about that. I think the guy's made about 160 moves so far. And it's insane. But in cases like this, you know, use that to your advantage and stash it while your team is healthy, and hopefully they can come back and make a difference for you at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I love my keepers going in because I didn't like them last year, as you know, Eric. I didn't like my keepers going into last season, but now because I've used that injury list to my advantage, and I also made a move. I can't remember who I gave up. Oh, I gave up like a second baseman, LeMahieu, for Kluber, basically, because the guy, you know, didn't have room on his roster to stash him. And I think he just gave up on him. So I was like, hell yeah, I'll take Kluber. I'll take a flyer on him because I had nothing to lose because my team's so bad. Although I will say it's rebounding. If I can win this week, I'm telling you, man, I'm from worst to first. I have a little feisty team though. I mean, I'm not a walkover anymore. So that's pretty good.
You are, and you're in a weak division, which it drives me nuts. I want to realign it one of these days. We've got the three best teams every single year in my division, so it's always a slugfest over there, and you guys can sneak one in.
Yeah, I know. I can sneak in. I started the season like 0-7.
Have a shot there.
Started the season 0-7, and I went. I'm 3-1 in my last four, and I'm putting up some good points. So there you go. You know, another guy I like too. While we're talking about it, speaking of Houston pitchers, I like McCullers. I mean, he's not going to play this year, obviously. You know, surgery and everything. But again, if you're in a dynasty league, you have an injury list stash slot, use it. I think if he comes back, he can come back stronger, and he's on a really good team with support behind him. I think that's if you need pitching help, if things are dire. There. Like, I can't even fit him on my roster, but he's somebody I'd looked at before. And maybe at the end of the season, if I miss the playoffs, maybe I will just pick him up, you know, on my roster and just kind of stash an injured player. Who cares, right? Let's think about, if you were in maybe my position last year, trading for the future. I know you have a couple of players listed, Eric, that you'd like, maybe some bats that you want to talk about. So who are some future guys you'd be looking for? I have one, by the way, Vlad Guerrero Jr. He's on my roster, and I'm kind of dealing with the ups and downs of a new, fresh guy into the league. But who do you have on your list?
If you can find someone willing to trade you Vlad, yeah, you better do that real quick. I think Eloy Jimenez is starting to show what he can do. He might have some ups and downs, so he's going to have a little hot streak, and then he's going to kind of slow down. I would take that to your advantage. When he slows down, people are going to think, oh, he's back to what he was, and not be as high on him. You might be able to sneak in there and grab him. Another guy I really like who just kind of came in and has been going off is third baseman outfielder for the Braves, Austin Riley. The kid is legit, and he's only going to get better because I've seen it in his track record throughout the minors. That strikeout rate is high for a little bit, and then he fixes it and comes back and brings it down dramatically, and the homers just keep piling up. So another good option. And then another one is kind of an interesting name to me that I put on here is Jose Ramirez, because I'm watching him and he's had a rough first half. People might be down on him, might be looking, and if you kind of make him a decent offer, they might think they're selling high or getting a good deal, when you might be getting him when he's going to come back and have a big second half, which I do feel like he should be in line for. I think he's going to go home on the All-Star break and kind of, you know, figure out what's going on, really take a hard look and come back strong.
Very.
So that'd be one to aim for and see if you can buy low on him.
Yeah, I'm wondering too, although Otani's been, because I have him on my roster, he started a little bit slow, but he's been hot lately. Another guy I just picked him off of waivers. I like Jay Bruce. He's not really a stash for the future kind of guy, but if you're looking for some, maybe like a waiver juice situation, since he's been in Philly, he's been on a tear. So I just picked him up and it was like a what the hell, because I had some injuries on my roster. I liked him. And that maybe is if you're looking for a little jolt. And speaking of jolts, you have a couple players. The first one you're going to list off here, Eric, I really wanted, but I had, you know, just my roster is so full of injured players, I couldn't really fit them on the roster. But why don't you go ahead and run through your list there?
I kind of actually, I beat you to him. I grabbed him. I stashed him for a week just because, which is Dallas Keuchel. I know it's the obvious answer. But if you can find him, he's an extreme ground ball pitcher, and he's going to a team with a very, very, very good defense, especially on the infield. So that should be a nice match. So yeah, go grab him if you can find him. The next name I got for you would be Zach Gallen, young pitcher from the Marlins, just getting called up. I think he's starting tonight, I believe. So not much chance to pick him up for that one, but you know, keep an eye on him, see what he does. If he, you know, looks good, he's going to stick around. And he's been really, really good in the minors with an ERA under 2, I believe. So a good looking young pitcher there. And then Oscar Mercado as an outfielder for the Indians has really, you know, come up and had a really, really good run for them so far. He's looked solid and he's putting up some numbers. He may not be a guy that's going to be a keeper for you, or, you know, he's definitely not going to be a guy that's going to come up and do, you know, what Acuna did for the Braves last year, or what Soto did for the Nationals last year and really carried the team. But he's going to be a solid piece that seems to be putting up, you know, positive numbers on a nightly basis.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, man, I think that's that probably carries us through. Do you have anything else, any other things to prime our audience for from the baseball front?
It's going to be an interesting trade deadline, and I think we'll touch base again after that probably with some, you know, updated predictions there, because I think that's really when we can get a good idea of what's going on. I think the Braves are going to underwhelm again, and I think you're going to have teams that are going to go crazy like the Phillies and go overboard, and then you're going to have some teams that are going to make some really smart moves, and it'll probably be someone like, you know, the Yankees or Dodgers that are going to make the big name moves, but the moves that are really going to help them win it.
Right. Well, we will look forward to that. And then, you know, once we pass through that, we'll have you on one of the shows, either this one or Functional Sports of Hog. This one is going to be pretty much NFL packed for the rest of the season, based on all the gambling stuff that's going to be out there. Eric, I'm flying to Vegas. I don't even know if I told you this. I'm going to be flying to Vegas and entering a couple of the super contests. I don't know if I'm going to do it with me and Brad, if we're going to like combine. I might do our mutual friend Brian, who we call the Wolf of Wall Street, not the Wolf of Wall Street, the Wolf of Tarpon Springs, or I might just do it solo, but we'll see. I figure, why not? I have the time, and why not invest in myself? I've been doing on the gambling side. I've been being very successful. I think it's time for me to put my money where my mouth is there, too, on a public sector. So we'll see there. We'll be tracking that throughout the season as well. But hey, everybody out there, baseball-wise, hope this was helpful, and thanks for listening. And then football fans out there, I know a lot of people play both sports, and we have a lot of readers, Eric and I, that that purchase both almanacs and services and everything. You know, we're going to be coming strong with the NFL commentary and everything. So look for that in the coming weeks. Everybody out there, hey, go out, get paid, be good.